Zach Vanoss along with you here. This is... Is this the Montreal bias or the recency bias? I'm alone on this one. Sean and I struggled to try and get a podcast up before the season started, but schedule conflicts did not allow it. So I don't know. You decide. You playing at home, you decide if this is an episode of the recency bias or the big podcast, the Montreal bias. Both brought to you by Rabid Habs. Another great season of Montreal Canadiens hockey coming up for you on Rabid Habs. Already the content starting to uptick on the website. We got a new edition of the forum up there today. So plenty to come as we get going on the 2017-2018 NHL season. What an offseason. What an offseason. Listen to the names that moved in the offseason. Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Gordon Hayward, Dwayne Wade. Oh my God, what an action-packed... That's the NBA, isn't it? It's the NBA. The NBA had an amazing offseason. The NHL, who's the biggest name to move in the NHL? Jonathan Drouin? Alex Radulov? Were the Habs definitely involved, I think, in the biggest name on the move in the offseason. Whether it was losing him or gaining him. So yeah, not the biggest shakeup in the NHL offseason. A lot of status quo. The Canadiens, I'll get into a little bit later on this one. Take a look at the changes that the Canadiens have made in the offseason. In some regards, a different team. In many other regards, much the same team that we've seen before. We'll get into that, but yeah. The main thing that we're looking at for this NHL season is a new team. New team. Las Vegas Golden Knights. Sorry. Try again. New team. Vegas Golden Knights. How many times am I going to do that through the season? Forever. I can't see calling them Vegas catching on easy. The Las Vegas Golden Knights. That's going to slip out of my mouth a lot. I'm sorry, but that's just going to happen. If you're riding with Montreal Bias this season, you're going to have to become accustomed to it. It's not easy. So ready to go. I think, you know, hockey world, the big news was kind of some of the off-ice stuff that went on in the offseason. I mean, you got Calgary threatening to take their team away, Gary Bettman holding that city hostage, or at least threatening to hold that city hostage. Build me a new building. I want a new building for your Calgary Flames, or I might take them away. That's my Gary Bettman impression. It's not great, but I didn't practice it at all. Of course, Calgary, though they may lose their team, getting the ultimate send-off. Jagr Watch 2017 is over. Once again, for the 48th consecutive time, it finishes in disappointment for Montreal Canadiens fans. Yarmir Yager will play for the Calgary Flames at least for half or some percentage of this season. He's tradable, obviously. Jagr Watch will never die until Jagr himself dies. There's no such thing as retirement for him. But yeah, he's with the Flames, so that's another dream crushed for the moment. Something I was hoping come the start of this season, the Habs would get Jagr in there. But, you know, I don't know that there was necessarily a need for him with the Canadiens. But it's Yarmir Yager. Come on. Come on. Come on. Also, the Olympics, kind of it was through the summer, right? That was not the end of the last season. I feel that was through the summer. Early part of the offseason, talking about whether or not the NHL would go to the Olympics. Kind of got shut down real quick. So there's that. Some of us thought maybe we'd get to at least see Jagr in the Olympics. Since he wouldn't be playing in the NHL. But he was playing in the NHL. So here we are. October 5th. Hockey returned last night, Wednesday night. Puck dropped with Toronto. Taking on Winnipeg. Toronto, that city, the city from which I am potting at you from, is ready for this hockey season. they are amped for this version of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have dreams of lifting the Stanley Cup this year. That never ends badly. I don't know. What do you think about the Leafs? Are we scared? Should we be scared? They're kind of legit, but they're also kind of the Toronto Maple Leafs. You got to factor in both of those things. I'm not sure they're as legit as everyone seems to want to think they are. You know, just because they flirted with almost winning a round last season against the Washington Capitals, who, let's face it, Washington Capitals, though a tremendous team in the regular season, it's not a good playoff team. Toronto Maple Leafs taking them to 7 games. I don't know what that means. I mean, the Ottawa Senators took the eventual champions to Game 7. Pushed that thing to the brink. And most people don't even have them making the playoffs this year. Playoffs are weird. Things can happen. I don't know how good the Leafs are going to be. Like, does the addition of Marlowe change a bunch for you? The addition of Patrick Marlowe has never been something that lifted a good team over the top and in a Stanley Cup before. Ask San Jose about that. And this is a 50-year-old Marlowe. What else is going on in the Canadiens division? They'll get it going against the Buffalo Sabres tonight. Jack Eichel just signed there. 8 years, 80 mil, so that's a 10 mil hit per year. That's pretty good for Eichel. Eichel's underrated at this point. Are they going to be improved? I think they'll be improved. Detroit, that's a bad team. Boston Bruins, they seem to be treading water to getting worse. I don't really know what the Bruins are about. Ottawa Senators, fuck those guys. There, I guess this is an episode of the Montreal Bias because I dropped an F-bomb. Happens less on the recency bias because less likely to curse early in the morning. Less likely. Not guaranteed, but not quite as expected. Canadians will get it going, to say, in Buffalo tonight, but you know that. You're amped about that, aren't you? Or are you? Because I don't remember the last time I came into a Habs season this docile. I'm not chomping at any bit to get into this season. I think I said that last year, but while it was true last season, it is more so true this season. Sean and I, for the Montreal Bias, the episode that will happen. It'll happen soon, I promise. We're going to do, because Curb Your Enthusiasm came back on Sunday night, we're going to do a whole episode pretty much called Curb Your Enthusiasm, which we will probably still do. Because our enthusiasm is curbed for the upcoming Habs season. And is that justified? Is that fair? Habs still have Carey Price? Claude Julien behind the bench? As I argue in the forum today, I feel like we're not talking about that enough. For all the shitting on Michel Therrien, we all did. I mean, Michel Therrien used to be the biggest problem with this team. That was what we talked about. That was the issue. Oh, Michel Therrien in the way. He's gone. Claude Julien is in charge. And not in charge in the way he was for the latter part of last season plus the playoffs, where he's come in and he's inherited something. So I had the whole offseason, the whole preseason. We're going to be playing Claude Julien hockey now. It's got to count for something. For all the griping and the pissing and moaning we did about Michel Therrien, Claude Julien in now, and they're not supposed to be better? If that's the case, what the hell were we so on Therrien for? If he had such a minimal effect when all was said and done, when talent is really what rules the day, maybe we should have calmed down a little. I don't think that is the case. I think the Canadiens should be a better structured, a better executed team under Julien. That should be something to look forward to. I just think we haven't talked about it much in the preseason. Obviously, the big obsessions of the preseason were Jonathan Drouin. Let's see what this kid does. They put him at center. Right now, as of this moment, the Montreal Canadiens potentially have a first-line center in Jonathan Drouin. We're going to find out if that holds. Obviously, everyone's eyes were on Alex Galchenyuk. Galchenyuk, the new whipping boy. as of midway through last season, maybe in the beginning of last season, but it is, he is the one with the target on his back now. He's the new PK Subban, no doubt about that. Montreal's most controversial figure, Alex Galchenyuk. So we'll see what he does this season. Let's take a look at the roster. Ins and outs from last season to this. Out, the Russians. Unlike American elections, unlike Facebook ads, Russians are out on this one. Alex Radulov, gone to Dallas. That was a bit of an off-season drama. Was it communications issues? Why is Radulov not a Hab this year? And is that a good or bad thing? I think this year it's a bad thing. Because there's obviously, you look at the cap space, I think the Habs have about 8 mil still in cap space. Shocking, the Montreal Canadiens are starting the season as one of the teams with the most cap space available to them. But when you don't bring back Radulov or Markov, that space is going to be there. And we'll see what Bergevin can do with it. Be interesting to see what he does with it, because he doesn't have a ton of assets. Our main asset, Mikhail Sergachev, was used to acquire Drouin. Good trade, I think. I expect. Even though in our boldest of predictions that we threw out on the forum last week on rabbithabits.com, I claimed Drouin was going to be a bust. That's a bold prediction. Not really something I expect to happen. But I believe it was Vice Sports copping us on this one, so you can put that in the bit of who's ripping off this week. Who's ripping us off this week. Vice Sports, soon after we published my hot take that Drouin would be a bust in Montreal, they had a piece basically about how much Drouin has been set up to fail this season in Montreal and going forward. And there's no denying that. A lot of pressure on the kid. They did the whole thing where he's giving money to a hospital just like Subban. I mean, this is the great white hope for French Canadians. We shall see. A lot of pressure. It would be amazing if he succeeds, obviously. So far, he has looked great. Could be amazing. Could be a bust. We shall see. And of course, departing Andrei Markov, moved on to the KHL. Spent his entire NHL career with your Montreal Canadiens. That's a sad one. That's sad to see him go. Would have liked to have seen them manage to get something together to bring Markov back for one more year. You think that could have got done, but for whatever reason, it did not. And then, of course, Alexi Emelin also gone. The Vegas Golden Knights, they grabbed him in the expansion draft. If you listen to the recency bias last season, or the Montreal bias at any point since Alexi Emelin's joined the team almost, that one didn't bother me too much. He had a fine season. A lot of people argue back. Alexi Emelin had a good year last year. He was fine. And often enough, he was bad. He's not young. He's like 30 now. Wasn't going to get a lot better. Wasn't going to get any better. It's time for Alexi Emelin to move on to Vegas or pastures. Ends a longer list. Drouin, obviously, alluded to him. Alex Hemschke, what's he going to be? Kind of a reclamation project. Alsner, 31-year-old Alsner, who is no Andrei Markov in talent or ability, but is 8 years younger. He's on a 5-year deal. Joe Morrow, what is he going to be? Probably not much. Schlemko, who's here but on the IR. And Mark Streit. All that's old is old. Old as hell. But also new again on your Montreal Canadiens. It's kind of some of the changeover. And then the other changeover. Not really new guys per se, as they have been in the system. They maybe played on the Canadiens before. But new for the opening night lineup. Charles Hudon, who looks like he's actually going to be a permanent fixture on the Canadiens this year. You know, a lot of people who pay attention to the AHL have been clamoring to get Hudon up for a while now. Mete? Is that how I'm supposed to say it? I don't know. I literally have not heard anyone say it out loud yet. Why? Because I don't pay attention to any preseason. Everything I know about Mete, I've read. Ian Boisvert, deputy editor at Rabbit Habs, he told me via written word that I should pronounce it Mete. I think that's how he told me to say it. So I'm going with that. If it's wrong, sorry. We'll figure it out. Got 82 games, or maybe 9, to figure this out. And Jacob De La Rose, who we've seen on and off, but for the moment, on with your Montreal Canadiens. That's the team that we're looking at. Everybody else, they're bringing it back. Let's do it again. And I feel like that's maybe why the enthusiasm for the coming season's a little curbed. Despite the fact that there's big names, marquee names, franchise names in the case of Markov, who've come and gone. And Drouin still feels like it was almost just tinkering in the margins. I don't know if that's fair, considering the names that I've said, but it feels like that. Still Carey Price going out there. Still Shea Weber going out there. Jeff Petrie. Brendan Gallagher. What kind of season are we going to see from Brendan Gallagher? Hopefully a bounce back season. He admits his hand's never going to be the same. That's a little worrisome. So he's got to get past that. But we know he's not somebody who, historically at least, has ever seemed to not be able to rise above fear and pain to succeed. So full off season, I'm sure he worked a lot on his game. We'll see what Brendan Gallagher brings. The preseason, as Claude Julien alluded to, looked like we were seeing more of the Brendan Gallagher that he used to have to coach against when he was the Bruins head coach. It's Gallagher got the store for us. Galchenyuk, we've talked about. See another season from Paul Byron. Can Speedy Byron be a 20-goal scorer again? Andrew Shaw, is he going to be a different player under Claude Julien? I see that a lot. That's a narrative that's out there. Andrew Shaw going to have a big season in the Claude Julien style play. There's a lot of question marks in many ways around this team, as there are, I think, you know, pretty much every team that's getting going. So there's a lot of things we know. We know we have Carey Price, and that means you're probably going to be near 100 points if he stays healthy. You're going to be a playoff team. I've seen some people just for, I think out of boredom, have the Montreal Canadiens out of the playoffs. So, the idea of Buffalo's on the rise, Maple Leafs are legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. Bullshit. This shift in the Atlantic Division. Tampa Bay, who failed to make the playoffs last year, though many people had them penciled in as a likely Stanley Cup contender, will they return to form this year, provided they don't have to battle the injuries that they did last year? I don't know. They're without Jonathan Drouin. Maybe he's the key to the whole thing, though they missed with him. So I think there's a lot of question marks in the Atlantic as well. But to say that you expect the Canadiens with Carey Price and otherwise, not a ton of changes in the overall structure. The addition to Claude Julien for the full offseason or preseason to get his things going. Hard-pressed to be convinced that without injuries, and that's obviously always the caveat, but without injuries, this team should be poised to contend once again for the division championship. Or as they call it in Ottawa, another banner. It should be a good team. It should be a team that, you know, come playoff time, we're once again going to be saying, well, if Carey Price does his thing, they get lucky, they could make a run, the ceiling's probably short of a cup. Once again, reason for my enthusiasm being at about a 6. Because we've seen this before. At least I feel like we've seen this before. Seen it several times over the last few years with always kind of one significant change. But at the end of the day, I think we all think there's not quite enough still there to pull it all off. And they're certainly not bad enough to expect things to go horribly either. That's where they at. You can't argue, though. One thing I will say, this is absolutely Marc Bergevin's team now. Every part of this team belongs to Bergevin. Even the guys he inherited. You know, he's got Alex Galchenyuk third overall immediately, but that there was the obvious pick. That was the pick anyone would have made in that three spot. Carey Price, sure, he inherited Carey Price. Sure, he inherited Brendan Gallagher and Max Pacioretty. But those guys are still on the team now because it was Marc Bergevin's choice to have them on the team. They've all been given big contracts now. They're all beyond into the free agent years. Everyone else has been brought in. That's all Marc Bergevin is doing. Claude Julien. I mean, Bergevin has now fired a coach and is on to coach number two. This is Bergevin's team. There's really no part of the old guard left. Your Montreal Canadiens of 2017-2018 belong top to bottom to Marc Bergevin. For better or worse. And when you look at the long list of 6-7 defensemen, otherwise known as guys whose NHL careers resemble in many ways that of Bergevin himself, we've got a lot of those guys. He's definitely into the kind of player he was. He'll tell you you can never have too many defensemen. I tend to agree with that. But I might also make the argument you can have too many mediocre defensemen. I was in a text conversation with a couple of my buddies yesterday talking about Mete on the team and whether or not he'll just get the 9 games and then go back down to the AHL so that they don't burn off a full year of his contract, or he's here to stay for the season, as Claude Julien has indicated for the moment seems to be the case. And the argument on one side was, come on, the kid's what, 18, 19, we're not going to burn a year of him right now. That would be stupid. What if you get to the 15-game mark and it becomes obvious that, yeah, the propulsion out of the, you know, all the excitement from the first stretch of the season, that got him through that point. But once you start to get into the general habits and rigors of a regular season, players start to figure him out a little more. Maybe he doesn't show quite NHL ready. If that's the case, then you've burnt a whole season of him unnecessarily. So maybe, you know, you don't want to risk that. That's usually the thinking, is you don't want to risk that happening. And so after 9 games, you send the guy back down. You've had a look. He's got a taste. He knows what he needs to work on. But in the case of Canadians right now, he may stay on out of necessity. Because who the hell else is going to play with Shea Weber? Now, this may be one of those things that we're asking it now as if it's a big concerning question. And then as the season rolls on, somebody slots in quite naturally. Somebody who didn't get an opportunity, didn't quite shake out in the preseason. I mean, there's a lot of shuffling still going on in the preseason. It's not as though they're playing regular games, regular lineups. A lot of ins and outs and what have yous. For the moment, though, it looks like he could stay because who the hell else is going to do it? And he's been doing it well. He's going to get burned a few times. Absolutely. Expect that. He's a rookie defenseman. And so in his own end, I think Shea Weber will help him a little bit with responsibilities. But you can still expect a few mistakes. Now, how will Claude Julien react to that? We know how Michel Therrien used to react to rookie mistakes. Coaches hate mistakes anyway, which is why they're generally a little reluctant to play rookies. But I mean, Michel Therrien seemed to be a guy who, for my money, really did not like rookies. Could not tolerate the mistakes they make. But you got Carey Price, you expect to make the playoffs. I've said this a lot on the podcast before. I'm okay with seeing rookies make mistakes and learn from them. I don't think you need to pin them to the bench immediately, but we shall see how Julien handles that as well. Sounds like I'm talking myself into this season. I kind of am. Still the return of hockey. I'm kind of talking myself into getting hyped. Game against Buffalo in Buffalo fails to kind of get you going too, doesn't it? Just doesn't quite have the bright lights of kicking off, even against the Senators, you know, because we hate them, or the Bruins, or as per usual, the Toronto Maple Leafs. That gets you excited a little bit. Buffalo Sabres in Buffalo lacks it a little bit. Just a little bit. Alas, the puck will drop sometime after 7 o'clock. Depends on what kind of opening ceremonies the Sabres have. I feel like it'll be low-key. I don't know the Sabres. Sabres don't exactly have what the Habs have when it comes to ceremony. But I tell you what the Sabres do have. Tell you what I just remembered 1 second ago, and now I'm hyped for the season again. Buffalo Sabres have the greatest goal song in all of hockey. And so while I want Carey Price to lay a shutout down to start the season, get working on yet another Vezina potential campaign, I do love hearing Let Me Clear My Throat. So we got that. Now I'm a little hype again. A little bit hype. Let Me Clear My Throat. So yeah, we'll be back with the Montreal Bias, hopefully on Thanksgiving weekend. We'll figure out when to get that. We'll do the Curb Your Enthusiasm, where I've identified a bunch of Habs players and episodes of Curb to which they I associate them. So if you're in that Venn diagram of Curb Your Enthusiasm fan and Montreal Canadiens fan, well, you got something to look forward to on the next podcast. That'll be coming your way shortly. The recency bias will be back. If you're new to the podcast, if you're new to Rabid Habs, welcome aboard. Great to have you in for the season. Let me know how you found it. Hit me up on Twitter at Zach Drops Tweets. That's Zach, Z-A-C-H, Drops Tweets, spelled the same as Zach Redmond, who has now been traded. Was it the Sabres? Is that where he went on Wednesday? No more Zachs on the team. Follow this podcast at the Montreal Bias and at Rabid Habs for the website. Of course, though Sean not on this one, I encourage you to follow him on Twitter as well, at the O'Neill Factor. Find out what he thinks about his 0-4 New York Giants, for instance. It's one of the things he'll be tweeting about, I'm sure. We'll be bringing the recency bias back, as I say, tomorrow, Friday morning, to break down what happened in Game 1 of the Canadiens season against Buffalo Sabres. Be doing that, try to do that for every game throughout the regular season and the playoffs. Hopefully pull off every between myself and Ian Boisvert, who comes on once in a while when I'm not available. So we'll try and recap all 82 for you here in this 5 to 15 minute, usually about 7 or 8 minute spot of the recency bias post-game mornings. So that is to say, because that's a weird sentence, the day after Canadiens game, around 9 a.m., you'll have episodes of the recency bias featuring generally just me alone, much like this extended version has been today. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to getting back into that for another season. Always a good time. At least it was last year. And we'll try and improve upon it. Let me know what you liked last year, what you didn't like, what you'd like to be hearing plenty of this season. You can leave a review on iTunes. You can comment in the comment section at the bottom of the Rabid Habs page when this goes up. A lot of ways to communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. As we get set to go on another 82 and hopefully, maybe, just maybe, a run to a 25th Stanley Cup. I don't think so. But, hey, you never know. Anything could happen. That's the beauty of opening day. Anything could happen. Until tomorrow morning, take care.